My name is Naftali Hirschfeld.
Okay. Okay, when did you first come to the yeshiva?
Well, my first entrance to yeshiva was sort of a very short time. It was during the summer vacation of my last year in high school in RJJ.
What year was that?
That must have been around 51.
51.
51, 52, around then.
What other people were you contemporary with that also came?
I had a very close chav. His name was Nosson Nussbaum. He's a yeshiv in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
And we sort of decided we want to do something in the summer because the school closes the end of June till September to go away for the 2 months and learn somewhere.
Uh-huh.
So we had an idea maybe we should go to Lakewood. So uh-huh. even though we just felt, I mean, we're too young, he probably wouldn't take us.
Uh-huh.
But we went and we discussed the proposition with one of our Rebbe, Jackie Fiasin.
Who was that?
Was it Zadel Epstein?
Okay.
And he thought it was a great idea. In fact, he suggested that we call up and make an appointment for the evening after the day that we proposed it to him, because he knew there were some other bochum that were going for a beginner to the Rosh Yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
So he said it would be a good time to go together with them.
Uh-huh.
So we sort of hesitated, saying, I mean, we're not really prepared on such short notice to go. He says, don't worry, like, I'll direct you, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So we called up and we asked if we can come for the next day for Brinnens.
Yeah.
So he said, yeah, we must come under this, he'll come also.
Yeah.
All right. And in the meantime...
This is in Borough Park.
This was in Borough Park. In the meantime, Reb Zadel sort of prepared us, directing us to some of the inyanim that he had spoken about in the Shia, one of Avdar Abkivege and one of Avdar
Zayin. What Gemara was it that you had to get the fair on?
I can't remember.
What Masechta?
I can't remember. No, let me go back. You'll understand later after.
Yeah.
I can't answer that question now because really our Bechina was in a very different way than normally Bechina's. So he had told us, like, what we should prepare amongst ourselves, things that we had spoken about in the Shia, and we had a Kashin, a Teret, on two inyanim that we were learning.
Yeah.
And he told us when we come to the Rosh Yeshiva, we should start talking and learning with him right away.
Right.
So we were there. There were, like, four Bochrim that were from Rav Mendel Kravitz's class.
Right.
And there were the two of us, and I followed the Rebbe's advice, so I said I was very fluent in Yiddish, so Yiddish was not a problem for me. So I said, Chagavolt fregen der Shiva Shaila, and Ibizog and Azach was mama gesogt wegen dem.
I'll tell you an aside, 1951, who wasn't fluent in Yiddish?
I don't know.
I think everybody was.
I'm not sure. Whatever. I mean, I was fluent in Yiddish from my home as well. So I started telling him over with Rabbi Kivege and a possible Mahalach Harabi Miyashiv, which there was no, it wasn't mine, it was the Rebbe's, but a possible Mahalach.
Yeah.
So he said, nein, you can zok tashi af them. And he went for half an hour and started telling over how he was Miyashiv that in the Shia.
Uh-huh.
And we were standing there like shaking our heads because as soon as we stopped shaking, he would get like a little bit aggravated. You saw that.
He was aggravated?
Yeah, if you didn't shake your head like in the... Like
oh, as if you weren't paying attention.
As if you don't pay attention, you don't understand. So we kept checking our heads. After I finished, after he finished with elaborating on the sukkah that I had brought up, so my friend Nosson Nussbaum, he came up with his thing, also to say, over Mahalach, Alex Zeiss, within the Sivis. And so he told him, no, the same thing. He said a shir on that too, and he said over his shir. These other four fellas was like sitting with their mouths open. They didn't know what to do, what to begin, where, what.
They're overwhelmed.
They were overwhelmed. Now, they were like at least 5 years older than us. So the shishiva said, he sent them into a room, and he said to them that they should make a lenin on the gemara b'avakam, a keren kain shagonav.
What?
In Maruba,
that's it. That's what I wanted to know. Everybody tells me the same thing.
Ken and Kane should.
Yeah, right.
And he says he'll talk to them later.
Yeah.
And he told us that yes, that we could come. He says he doesn't know about chavrusa, so I told him we don't need chavrusa. We say we don't need chavrusa. I said we're good chavrusas. We will learn. So he says first say yeah, second said yeah, and written said yeah. I said we don't need. We'll learn amongst ourselves.
Mm.
And I explained we're just coming for the summer. We're not because we have to still finish high school.
Yeah.
So he says, "Yechvili zot matana taivus." I says, "What was taiva? Ichdav shirai my telegram, and I want you to give the nusach for the telegram." So he was telling us in Yiddish what he wanted to write.
Okay,
I pasha don't remember to whom this telegram was sent or what the topic was about.
Uh-huh.
So we spent mistama 2 hours with him preparing this telegram.
Yeah.
And these other fellas were like schwitzing over there on that sugya.
Yeah.
Then he asked us if we want to eat something. So I said, no, we don't need that. Anyway, so we were there for about 3 hours, and 1 hour talking and learning with all that other stuff, and 2 hours writing a telegram.
Uh-huh.
And that's because Angman Dunsen says, come, yeah, as if he ended, come, bald, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So we came, and it turned out that the other guys he told not to come.
Uh-huh. You have no idea why.
Later on, we sort of understood. This is Rav Zeidlev. You know? Do you know Rav Zeidlev?
Sure. I'm a neighbor from Shimel Elishan. I was in his class too.
Uh-huh. He was very chitri. He was very he was very clever.
I know. They have tapes from him. You know, from the Musa Shmuz. He said RJJ.
Yeah.
They never published them.
Yeah.
But they're tremendous.
But he was a very clever person.
Yeah.
I think personally, I felt always that he told us Bedavka to go at the time when the other guys are going.
Uh-huh.
He should see the contrast between 16-year-olds and 21-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
And he always used to like, you know, like an outspoken Balkishin. Not a Mechutzev, but someone who's like, you know, not a Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
So that's the way he viewed us. And he took us, the other guys he didn't take. And then when we finished high school, we called, I didn't know like what the procedure was, so we called again, you know.
But what about the experience you had in yeshiva at that time?
What?
That summer.
Oh, so that summer we learned together. I forgot which masechta that was. It may have been Kedushim, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And people were, in the beginning, they were pretty cold to us.
The old-timers.
The old-timers. But when they saw that we're sitting and learning and we don't want anything from anybody and we just learned amongst themselves.
These old-timers were Europeans or Americans?
Some were American, some were European.
Uh-huh.
And there was a guy by the name of Maslovati, he used to say over the shiur.
Well, I never heard of him before.
Well, he used to say over the shiur word for word, like the shiur, he must have had a photographic
memory.
So after the Rashiv said the shiur, we didn't know what was flying, but after he said it, so we began to chabur with what's going on. And after they saw for about a week or so that we didn't want anything from anybody, and we just were sitting learning taka seriously, and so they started coming over to us a little bit and asking us if we need something. Then everybody warmed up to us. The next year, I called up the Shiva about, you know, coming for more permanent.
Yeah.
And he says, I said, he says, I know you, come.
There was never any problem with college questions?
Well, at that time, when the first time I went, I was still in high school.
Uh-huh.
The second time I went for a year. I mean, I didn't expect to stay there for all those all those years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my parents wanted with college,
right,
that I settled on my own. I didn't need the Rashima for it.
I'll ask you a question. How come you were able to be misguided on the college question? Because most people didn't.
not only most people didn't. I mean, learning in yeshiva was a bazillion. It wasn't. It was like felt, you know.
Yeah.
It felt like you're wasting your time.
Right.
If a guy was like majoring in gymnastics in City College,
that was a big deal.
Looked up, oh, college.
Yeah.
Hi, what's he doing there? Gymnastics.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it didn't bother me.
Didn't bother you. But you don't have a particular reason why you were different from a cause.
I don't know. Maybe I like to be different.
Okay.
I did. I mean, after a while, you know, my father was saying to Achmed, you want to go to college or you want to daf chalal nafach? I mean, we're from a Chassidish background.
Uh-huh.
So the idea about like not preparing for your future was not very acceptable.
Right.
But we had a statistical oofda that happened with us. We came here to America 4 weeks before the war broke out.
Where did you come from?
We came from Poland.
Which area?
Galicia. And it was just like a Maisach Gocha that we came. So one time I had a discussion with my father. So I said to him, "Listen, Pa, if the home mishpacha was Nitzel, there's got to be a Maisach Gocha here. So maybe for this chus that you'll give away one kid for Torah, maybe chus that we would Nitzel then."
Uh-huh.
After that statement, he never ever brought it up again.
Okay. Very good. So then you had that summer.
So then I was there. I was hooked.
And then you stayed there for the whole time.
I stayed there for about 10 years.
Okay. Now, any characteristic incidents or observations you saw in the Rosh Yeshiva? Even if you think it's something that's routine, I'd like to hear it from you.
You know, after he had his accident, so...
When was that? What year?
I don't recall, but he had fallen out of a car or whatever. So after that time, whenever he would go to New York, he would go to New York on Monday afternoon and would come back like Thursday afternoon. So every day they used to send a bocha, a younger man, to spend the day with him in New York. So it was my day once on a Thursday, and I spent the time with him in New York in the office with the intent that I would bring him back Thursday night to Lakewood for Shabbos. So he was speaking to some person in Los Angeles on the telephone, must have been for over an hour or two. And so nothing, you know, I didn't make any, didn't make much of a reaction on me. But on the way out, he noticed the secretary putting two regular postage stamps on an envelope, which should have been an airmail stamp. It was a difference of about a penny or two. In other words, if this was, I don't remember if it was 3 cents or 4 cents that time of the year, the mail. So if it was an airmail, it was 5 cents. And if it was a local, it was 3 cents.
Right.
So he put on 2 3-cent stamps.
It should have been five.
Instead of being five, it was six. So the Rashiva stood there and says, "It's not good, it's a Shiva Shigel." It's like a shot, Shiva Shigel. So I was taken aback. I didn't know how to present it to him. I wanted to ask him the kashi, but I didn't know how to present it to him. So I said to him, "Yes, in this kitaida, she was all, you know, she didn't have like a snefesh, but that she put on 2 3 cents instead of a 5 cents.
Yeah.
I mean, the choice and the hasay grace, you know, I said to him at the long distance, the hasay grace. So he says, "As medaf, dafman, a boy medaf nisht, is yet the pen is a short yeshiva shikel." So, you know, you felt to spend $20 on a telephone call that you need is one thing, but just throw out a penny where you don't need it is just, you know, see.
Maybe he was ausgeschaltet.
Very much so, but...
Yeah. I mean, he really, it wasn't like Stam, he was being petty about something. It means that he was machsh of everything.
He said, "Yeshiva Shigeld," like he asked him, "Is he heroes Yeshiva Shigeld," something like that.
So everything up and around. So there must be other stories like that you could tell me.
This one came to mind.
Incidents along the way.
that I remember I was married at that time already, and this was Thursday afternoon, and I told her that the Shiva Bishtike that I heard is supposed to be a big snowstorm coming. So he says, "Ui, I was I daf man entigen frie schnell a heimfahren, weil der Rebbe ist nicht mehr schlafen fahren, if it's going to be a big snow." So we finished kind of early. And we went through the Lincoln Tunnel. The difference between New York and New Jersey was unbelievable. It's like we drove into a blizzard. In New York, it looked like rain, or maybe it was clouds. As soon as we went through the Lincoln Tunnel, there was a blizzard.
You mean the New York side had a blizzard?
No, the New Jersey side.
Oh, you're going towards the
like, north. Yeah, we left to go back to So, he was saying till him the whole time.
Was that unusual?
He was cautioning me. What?
Was that unusual that they said tell him all the time?
I don't know. And he was cautioning me. I should pass off. I should watch. And I should this. And I drove slowly, carefully, persistently. I didn't make much of a fuss. And finally, when we got to Freehold, he saw the sign to Freehold. He's like, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, Freehold." Then he started talking, learning with me. At that point, up until then, he was very careful. There's one more story I have for you.
Yeah.
But I'm a little bit...
reluctant.
I'm a little bit reluctant because I don't like... It's not... I don't like to... I don't want to seem like... I don't know, face...
As long as it's not a knife, it's not Lashon Hara, is that right?
No, but, you know, I don't like to be glorify myself.
No, that's fine, fine. No, that's good, it's good. It's good for me, you know, because... other people did it too, don't worry.
Yeah, but I know I'm not into it. This had to do with something else. The Yeshiva used to have difficulty in getting Baal Tefillis for the Shonim Kippur. For the Shonim Kippur. It was fair. So a committee came to the Yeshiva and said to him that we have to get our own light to be the Baal Tefillis.
Yeah.
He said a good idea. One time I get a call from the Shiva wants to see me.
Yeah.
So I go and he tells me that Doylem said that it'd be a good idea we should get our own Baal Tefillis. I said, "Yeah, it's a good idea." So he says, "Give it Davin."
You'll be the Baal Tefillis.
So I say, "Yichon Davin, I can't ish the Shiva, I can't ish Davin." So my nusach is like a different nusach. And secondly, Achmein, so Lakewood's in the Nitzdama, Ashtibul Tzigein Davos.
What neighborhood were you from?
Well, we really lived in Washington Heights. We came to America, we moved, we lived in the Bronx, but the Bronx, we used to live across the street from Rabbi Spiegel. We knew each other as children.
So you know my Shabbik you went?
I know my Shabbik, but I don't but I've Spiegel Taka. But then we moved to Washington Heights, so there was a Dombrava Shtibel.
Yeah, okay, I know the place.
But Kol Yomai, I was Gedalti dot Mishnah Shtibel.
Dombrava, yeah. You know Ashkenazi then?
Yeah, yeah. So he told me, the Shiva told me, Yet Kahat Arebe and Yankiv Yosef and Avash Shavchik, and given like with the Baltfilin Kamenets. This was an Elo. Gate with a tape recorder. Bashafchik. Ezalach Oisland and the Mnusa. Yeshiva Shinusa. So I said to the Shiva, I can't. I didn't want. So we had been married like 2 or 3 years at the time. We didn't have any children. So he said, Svet Fah Zaina Zgula. So once he said that, he like sort of got me a little bit by surprise, so I couldn't refuse him. So I went to Rav Shavchik and with a tape recorder, and he like sort of provided me with the nusach, and I just couldn't daven that way. I couldn't daven. It wasn't me. I mean, it's like you tell someone to be a parent, you can't.
Like a litvish in this.
It's litvish. It was like boring. It was initially.
I know, so Hasidic shit didn't have the schmuck.
It was not for me. helps very much. I sort of improvise the stick a little more CDs, toned it down to a little bit more lit visual, sheevish. And I dabbed. I dabbed that Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
It was Shachris. After Shema Yisrael, by taking out the Sefer Torah, I lost my voice.
Oh, boy.
I was like, lost my voice. So, two things. First of all, he complimented me tremendously. He said, like, he was, what's that you make a zokin? He can't be stopped, and he's gedabend, can zokin virogel. I'll never forget the expression. And,
I'm sure he meant it.
And, you know, Rav Shneir told me at the time, he never heard him remarking about a tefillin. He never remarked about a tefillin. He couldn't stop talking, ganz Rosh Hashanah, how he was inspired with the tefillin. But the next day I couldn't stop him because I had lost my voice.
Yeah.
So during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, he kept calling my house every day and spoke to my wife. What she should give me to drink, that I should get my voice back. I should be able to daven on Yom Kippur. He wants me to daven on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
It was like carrying on every day. She was getting calls every day. She should make me a goggle mogul if she wants.
Sure, I used to have that.
Yeah, but it's not. This wasn't for me anyway. And on Yom Kippur, he didn't want the Baltvila should daven with shoes or with sneakers or with anything. He wanted them to daven their socks. So before Yom Kippur, he called me over and he says that he wants to remind me I should wear two pair of socks because it was like cold, so it shouldn't be cold, it shouldn't catch a cold. He was like hovering over me like over a baby. He was like very, very inspired with my davening. And the truth of the matter is, like the next year my son was born. About a year or two after that.
Very nice. Okay, any experiences during the shiurim that were characteristic or made impression of how he gave a shiur and what went on this shiur and things that are like hakgarain?
No, that he didn't care for us.
I know.
But I'm in the middle of the shiur. No, there were just a few people that would hakabarain in the middle of the shiur, but he would be very, he would get violent if you did that. No, that wasn't kedai. I would always wait till afterwards, and then you were able to get a normal response.
The ones that did that, they were European or American?
Well, I think that Moshe Eisenman used to hakabarain ganz dorf.
I heard things like that.
And I don't remember if Yankel Schiff used to also Mol Hakarai. I don't think so, because, you know, besides that he was in Lakewood, Yankel Schiff, he used to just be Isaac and the Shurim Kamat. He used to be like walking with the Rashiv the whole time, back and forth, and here and there. So I don't remember. I don't remember who the Hakas were.
Well, you mentioned the one that everybody mentions.
Moshe Eisenman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew him a little bit. He used to talk about different incidents they had. And, you know, one time he says that Megaruf Nagoy, you know that story.
I remember quoting to somebody, he said he exploited the Ashik in a tank.
That was another story.
This
story with Reb Nosson. So he told me, he told Reb Nosson, I was there. He said, "Et miruch na goy." Why? Why did he call my guy? Because one time, he told, I think Reb Nosson told us, or Reb Shnei, I forgot who it was, that he once was in by the Rosh Hashiva, and he came out, and he had a, didn't look happy. He was like base. So Reb Nosson said to him, he said, "What's the matter?" He says, "Who do you think you are?" He says, "Look at me or you." He says, "You were brought up in Germany. You went to a school in Germany. Yeah, I was in America. I went to YU. I mean, whatever it was, maybe TA." He says, "We absorbed a little bit from the Goyishkeit in America when you were in Germany." He says, "If you look into us, we have a shtick going on us." So he says, but they eat in there. You can't argue with him and think his way. He says, if you open up his heart, Sedona Aida. That's what he said. I think that was the Mashgiach told us the story. So he says, it may go off my guy. So he says, there's nothing in there. It's only a Jew there. There's no guy. Yeah, that's okay. So let's see what else happened. Nothing. What about a lasting impression that what you take with you.
I guess it's a smart Arangitan. He would speak on the phone with somebody, and the guy spoke a little slow. He would like sort of pull out a gabbard of the violin. Mm-hmm. Learn. But what an everlasting impression is a shtickle inferiority complex. The everlasting impression.
Yeah, but what would you do without that inferiority complex? that's something to treasure too.
It's not something that that I'm complaining about. It's just that to a certain extent you saw a person of such monumental godless, but yet he was like very personable, you know.
Yeah, I mean he wasn't up in the clouds.
No, he was like very human. I remember one of my kids was learning in one of the other yeshivas of today. He said, oh, the yeshiva, he can't talk to me, he can't walk, he can't this. I said, yeah. I don't get it. I said, I was a kid 16 and a half years old, speaking to the man, and I didn't feel that kind of an awe of talking to him. I mean, when he spoke, you know, and really the alma or whatever.
He had no airs about him.
No, it was like very comfortable. He made it very comfortable to speak to him.
Another thing, somebody told me that your Shver also learned by him.
My Shver, that's a mistake.
Well, he had something to do with him, because maybe it's the same Rabbi Spiegel told it to me. He said I should interview him too.
No, my Shver was a Brisker. He was very mekudah with the Brisker Rob.
Uh-huh.
And Rabban once came to Brisk,
yeah,
to say a Shia.
Uh-huh. He remembers that.
Yeah, he remembers it vividly.
So maybe I could talk to him too. Wait, is he lives with you?
No, he lives. He lives in the neighborhood.
You know how I can get a hold of him?
Yeah, but this is about Rabban. He's not really that familiar with Rabban. I mean, he was close with. He was in Shanghai. Rabbi Shnei was in Shanghai. With this. But it was just that one story that he used to tell of his coming to Klesk once.
That's worthwhile.
I think he remembers he said Shian Shvach that in Baba Metzia.
That would be worthwhile for me. I have other people like that too, from Europe also. What's his name? Moshe Steinberg. You know him?
From Muncie?
No, he's from Lakewood now. He's somebody Shver, I forgot who. Oh, I forgot the name. That's on the tip of my tongue. Kubawasa. He learned in Kletsk, actually. He told me some nice incidents over there. Also, he told me over what other people said that he was close to, like in what happened in Japan and things like that. They knew about it. So, is anything more that you could pull out for me?
Not really.
Characteristic. What about on Shabbos? How was the Shabbos meals and what he used to talk about and things like that?
Yeah, he used to sit with the Olam. He used to sit with the Olam. And the Olam used to ask him Shilas. You know, Dylan used to ask him things, and I think he stumps at the rushes by the meal.
Mm-hmm. Were you in like when he was Nisra?
I had left a year before.
Uh-huh.
gone to St. Louis. I said, is she in St. Louis?
Anything about the Yom Narayim? What, besides the fact that you were a bomb thriller once? It's a Hanhaga during that period of time. Yom Tovim.
I don't know what you think.
Nothing comes to mind specific.
Yom Tovim, we weren't there, just Simchas Torah, we were there.
Yeah. Oh, that's an experience.
My Shon Yom Kippur, I mean, it's...
You weren't there, Rosh Yom Kippur.
What?
You weren't there then, that time.
When?
Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
Oh, we were there, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, except for the, when I left, but otherwise Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur,
yeah.
I was always there.
And, no Hanhagas or things like that, that went on.
I say the truth, my yachas with him was like more than a learning guy from that. I wasn't like looking for his hoggies or for his sack.
You have to look for it, you're there.
But some people concentrate on this. I never really did. I just more or less, I spoke to learning with him often.
Okay, now, one point, where can I find your shver?
It's not a problem finding him, it's a problem getting him to
talk.
People bother him day and night about Brisk at all. You know, Brisk became famous now, so everybody wants to know about Brisk.
Okay, look, that's one of the penalties you gotta pay for knowing things.
They came out, you know, that thing on Brisk, they came out with some book that they just wrote on Brisk.
I don't know.
They have a book that came out on Brisk. There's a lot of pictures there. He's standing there. He's walking with Brisk at home.
Oh, you're sure?
Yeah, he was very important then.
Uh-huh. Well, that's not my subject.
I mean, I'm saying, so, you know, some people bother him with stories. And he's upset because they write things and then they're not accurate and then they're very superficial and some of them even silly. So he's upset with all these stories.
But I could try...
So find him is one thing, but get him to talk is another. Yeah.